the players, the personalities who come from around the world to play professional soccer in the United States.
In a world where some call it football, football, or soccer, they dare to call it foosball. One thinks New York is blue, the other thinks New York is red. Soccer in America from a German perspective. Let them put some sauerkraut on your hot dog and join them for the Schnitzel Boys USA Hour.
Yes!
That reminds me, I actually want to get a hot dog.
What? You want to get a hot dog with some sauerkraut?
Yeah, I might get a hot dog after this.
Yeah?
Yeah, I haven't had a hot dog.
Where are you
going
to get it? Where are you going to get it? Trader Joe's?
Probably 7-Eleven. Sorry for the delay. We had a very passionate debate about my experience at Trader Joe's last night.
We did. It was fascinating. I'm sorry. We should have just done it publicly. It would have been interesting, but we didn't. So unfortunately, this was for us, but it was still interesting.
It's a very late Larry David style conversation. Essentially, I am trying
to... Oh, really? You wanna...
I'm just going to ask this to the public. If there's anyone here in the chat, share with us. Do you send emails to large corporations when you have a bad experience? That's all. And if so, how often? Or do you keep it to yourself? Or are you someone who likes to confront
retail
people directly?
With retail workers? With retail. Do you complain about retail workers via email? Is the question.
I want to change it to customer service workers. Because when you say retail, I think people selling me shirts at Forever 21 or something like that. That I've never had a problem with.
But I mean, this is the equivalent,
I guess it's the same
right?
thing. Yeah. This is at a grocery store, at a restaurant too, like customer. Now, fast I'm not food, talking joint, about...
Yeah.
Now, I'm on Reddit all day because I love it, and there's all these date from hell stories, and 9 times out of 10, it's a date being like, bring it back. This isn't cooked well enough. Or there was a story where a lady sent a drink back. There's a story where a lady sent a drink back like 4 or 5 times and finally took all the ingredients to her table individually so she could mix it properly herself.
That's
good. Isn't that nuts?
That's a red
nuts.
Flag.
That's total red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Total, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, if you have something that rubs the wrong way, do you just keep it to yourself and blow it off? Are you good at that? Or do you maybe talk to them directly? Or do you send an email later? I find myself sending emails later sometimes when I just can't get over something. And I wish I was better about that. I wish, the moral of the story, I wish I could wait a day or two till I laugh it off and then it not be a big deal. But sometimes the moment of weakness, like this happened last night after Trader Joe's, I thought the checkout lady was a little rude to me. 30 minutes later, I'm sitting in my apartment still thinking about it, and I'm just like, screw it, I'm going to send an email and share my feedback. You know, and right when I was done it, I was like, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just laughed it off and slept it off. Who cares? So that was essentially the moral of the story. So if... Share us your feelings on that. Because Bjorn shared that he has never, ever, ever done that ever in his life. Has ever shared feedback.
No, I have not. I mean, that may not be true. I mean, I can't remember a single time. Certainly not about that level of
You've never emailed Nick Cushing with feedback about how some of the players have been doing?
No, I don't do that. I don't really do that either. I don't try to get people fired, even coaches. Nick Cushing is on the up and up. What?
No. You know what's part of that, by the way, which you didn't talk about, is I've worked at places where my managers and coworkers are real pricks, for lack of a better term, and we hate them. Mm-hmm. But we can't really say much about it. But if a customer comes in, and let's say I have this terrible manager at the grocery store that I don't like, who's a real bastard, which I've had before. If a customer comes in and they complain, they're complaining for all of us. They're like a hero to everybody else. They email corporate about this guy. And then he has to go to corporate and explain himself. That's a victory for all the employees. You know what I mean?
Oh, if the manager is the asshole.
Right. and the customers, essentially a customer who complains, they're fighting for the employees at that point. I'm not saying this would happen. It's hard to know the situation, but it's also an aspect to it. Sometimes if a higher up is being a real problematic and have a problem with you, tell some, email corporate about them. You know, I don't know. I'm all about that. Like, I guess I think maybe we're different, but that's the plus side of it. That's the plus side of something like that. Where we're right, maybe the negative side is you get some lowly worker fired who had a bad day or something. You know, that's not. I don't think that's amazing either. But anywho, I could talk about this for another hour. But this is the USA Soccer Hour.
I mean, might as well. But I was going to transition to Nick Cushing, who is not getting fired this week. Even though people, certainly. The fans in large numbers, they feel entitled to let their feelings about his job performance be known. And I'm sure they write emails as well. Somebody was on Twitter saying, like, tell your rep you're not going to renew your season tickets until they fire Cushing. I think that's stupid.
We get that all the time. It's always don't do this, do that.
I'm not gonna renew my. I'm gonna always renew my season ticket. I mean, they would have to do horrendous things.
Also, when the stadium opens up, if you're a guy who doesn't renew tickets, it might be tough to get back in there. Like, be thankful you have a slot.
You're not gonna get that brick.
At LAFC, I'm always an outsider looking. Like, I could have gotten season tickets. But there was few and far between, and they were very expensive. Like, if I was a founder or something, I would have a much better deal, much better options. So if you're sitting on those season tickets...
This is often a distinction that's made by NYCFC, but the founding members and the other season ticket holders, like, you get more stuff, you get a better deal. And people keep talking. We don't even know if this brick is ever going to be. The brick, people keep talking. I just want the brick.
What's the the founder's brick?
The brick supposedly is at the stadium. Wow. There's going to be a brick with your name on it. I don't know if that's even a thing. This has not been announced or discussed. They got to do a version of that. But anyway, we'll see. Hello. Hello, Hans Wolf.
Do you have a brick? What if you got a brick but they misspelled your name terribly on it? Would you still be proud? You're like, close enough.
They'd have to fix it. I would write an email.
See,
manager.
There you go. That's way more. You have to get a jackhammer. It's a brick. How would they fix that?
That'd be unacceptable. The names of all of me and my family members have to be spelled correctly, or else they can tear the whole thing down again.
Bjorn Big Bellenballs.
We can work with that. That would be all right.
No, yeah.
I'm not going to reject if they improve my name. I will accept it, of course.
Hi, rig. Hi, I'm a founder, but it says Bjorn Dipshit. That's not my last name. What the hell?
Yeah.
Bjorn Dipshit.
Bjorn has a small penis? Who asked for that? I did not. That's not what I requested.
That's not a typo. It's like, one of my children set that in, I see. Well, that's cool. Get your name on a brick. That'd be great. Imagine if in England...
I mean, to be determined.
You're great. I mean, imagine if that was a thing in England. Like, your great-great-grandfather's name would be on a brick somewhere.
Was it Anfield? Yeah.
Or something. I'm just saying, yeah. Who knows?
Mayor Eric Adams came to City Field to take his victory lap. That man is not very popular. And I guess a lot of fans followed the time-honored tradition, New York sports tradition of booing...
Right, the officials.
So I was like, wow. I mean, because, yeah, I don't
know.
I'm
out of the loop. I'm not a New Yorker anymore. Tell me about Eric Adams.
Eric Adams, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak badly about him publicly in that, you know, he has some Trump characteristics in terms of buffoonery and like, saying, you know, somebody was saying, he didn't actually say this, but somebody, people were speculating how he was going to call the new stadium the Anfield of America, because everything is like, you know, he will say at every occasion, you know, like, well, everybody knows that New York is the Port-au-Prince of America, or like is the Athens, the Athens of America. Like, you know, he says everybody knows this is, and he says these things that nobody's ever said. New York is the Athens of America. Nobody thinks that.
But everybody knows that New York City is the Magnitogorsk of America.
Somebody made a Soviet little clip of Eric Adams saying all these New York being the fill in the blank of America. He does this all the time. So he's like, you know, he's like a goofball public buffoon.
All right. Well, and, aren't they all?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. And but he definitely to an extreme. I mean, he seems to, it's a big contrast to his predecessor, Bill de Blasio, who was sort of surly and didn't really seem to like the job. Eric Adams loves it. Like he goes all over the place, but people are just kind of like facepalming around him wherever he goes. So anyway, but this, you know, whatever, and I guess he has some corruption issues to deal with currently, but however his tenure will end, to me this will always be the qualifier. Like he does have that to his name. He got the stadium over the line where previous administrations didn't. Right. So
I remember when all of this started, my Mayor Bloomberg said, he gave the thumbs up. He's like, we are going to have a stadium for the NYCFC. But he was only 6 months left before he was out. He was the lame duck at that point. But he's the first guy that gave the thumbs up. And then that was the beginning. That was, what, 10 years ago. That was the beginning of it all.
Yeah, and they couldn't get it over the line. The de Blasio administration was not in favor didn't advance it anyway.
The Bronx president was like, screw those guys. Take it here that we want it. And whoever the Bronx president was at the time was all about it.
Right,
but
right.
But then the community board meetings were very not, like, they nixed it. The community boards then complained about the soccer stadium, and they essentially nixed it.
Yeah,
along with the Yankees, I guess. Who would we blame killed Bronx? Is it the Yankees or is it the Bronx?
Well, I think it was the Yankees
because they fought over
this parking. There was like this spots, parking right? thing. I think the Yankees were supposed to give up some parking spots that nobody uses anyway.
Right.
It was like sort of seemed like a non-issue.
But that's a blessing in disguise, right? Because it's this new location's the better location, don't you think? Or would you rather have been in the Bronx?
I think this location is better in the sense that it's a little bit bigger.
Right.
And so doesn't quite have the... I think the Bronx location had some boundary issues. Like, I think it would have been probably a little more difficult to fit. But in terms of location, that was, you know... I mean, that seemed like the natural fit across the way from... Yankee Stadium, that's where, you know. So right. I don't know. I thought that location was fine. I thought these parking garages are kind of eyesores anyway.
They were going to redevelop for a train yard, right? They were going to like redevelop.
It was like a stapler factory and a little bit of a parking lot. Like it was like that little strip and a parking garage. I think it was Swing Line, yeah, ooh. Or one of them, yeah. They relocated, yeah. Anyway, it was, but there were some. It was right next to the 87, the throughway, so that that would have had some issues. Anyway, I mean, it's all difficult.
Bjorn, this scenario, has more scenario. Mm-hmm,
yeah,
you're God or something. You're very powerful. You have a blank check, and the city of New York is like, you know what? Everything is up for a redevelopment project.
If you could pick anywhere,
if you put it, where is the ideal place for the New York City soccer stadium?
Well, I mean, I thought the Pier 40 idea was pretty cool back then, you know, because that's where I used to play. That's where I
like
the
Hudson Yards, like around
that's
there.
Where, no, it's like Houston Street all the way west.
Oh,
okay. It's like a garage, and they have this indoor. It's like a big parking garage, and they have they have one field on the roof and one indoor. That's where I used to play. And so that at some point was a
so that was your that's your and it's one of those stadiums where they built it on the water, you're saying?
Well, I think there's a pier there, and there is already a field. I guess I mean in the end that was a non-starter because the community was like, we don't need this at all. That had very little support. But if you're just looking from a pure location, I thought that was pretty cool. That idea was pretty cool.
I think for me, if I could put it anywhere, I'd put it right where, like, right in between Penn Station and Port Authority. I'd put it right there. like right on the west side there.
Between Penn Station. Oh, over at the.
No, but a little west, like 8th, like between 9th and 11th Avenue or something.
Sure. So like near the Javits, near the Javits Center.
Javits Center. The bridge and tunnel crowd is right. Like the bridges and the tunnels are right there. And then the two big subway spots are like, it's just like right
that's
in the middle of
everything. Were gonna, that's where they were going to build that football, the Jets football stadium. That was sort of. They were going to build that over the train tracks that are over there. Yeah. I mean, that would have only cost like $100 billion.
I remember those commercials. Do you remember there were commercials on the air? Because they New York City was supposed to, they wanted $600 million from New York City for that project. And there's obviously, there was a campaign where it's like, teachers aren't getting paid. Why are we giving $600 million to
the NFL needs your taxpayer dollars.
I remember those girls. I'm like, yeah, she's got a point. She's got a point. Although,
I mean, that's the thing about, it's never, it's usually not a good deal for the team. I mean, that's why it's hard to, obviously, I'm a fan of the team. I want this stadium to happen. But it's from a community standpoint, it's usually hard to argue, oh, this will make things better for you. Usually, no. And taxpayer subsidies. I mean, but this is a true win in the sense that thanks to the unlimited funds of CFG and the attempts of Abu Dhabi,
the oil slave
oil barons to gain soft power over worldwide, like that's what, you know, there's a bunch of money, it's money for nothing, you know, they got they're building affordable housing, and it's like it's a big cash influx, which is why, and they were not looking for a lot of subsidies. I guess there's always a little bit of math in terms of property taxes that you're not paying, and et cetera, et cetera.
Question for him. Will all the oil slaves that they own, that they don't pay any money to make all their oil for them, will they have access to this affordable housing?
They have slaves make oil for them?
Oh, yeah. You should Google your ownership.
Is that how it works?
Oh, it definitely.
I don't
want
to.
Are you saying every employee of this Abu Dhabi oil concern makes great wages, it has excellent benefits, and they
I gotta honestly we were just talking about what the team would have to do for me to not renew my season tickets. I think if I looked into this stuff too closely, I may have second thoughts. I try not to. This is my, when people say about like,
you should look into
terrible,
the big
terrible things about CFG, I go, ah, la, 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 I can't hear you.
You should look into who owns soccer teams and what they really do.
No, I mean, I don't have any real illusions. I'm just saying, from a New York City perspective, it's not like Yankee Stadium where there were a lot of subsidies and corruption, et cetera. This was really, they were not looking for a lot of help, so they were going to float some cash, so I don't know why the Bronx people were so lukewarm about it. I think the original Queens
was to do environmental concerns, and that's essentially the same.
Well, because
area, right?
There was some park flushing. Yeah, but they were gonna use a little bit of parkland for it, and the community didn't like. I mean, this project is positive in that way that there really is no opposition whatsoever to it, because there's nothing there. It's like it's. I mean, I went there on
just a bunch of trap shops.
Went there on not anymore. They're all gone now, you know, because this was obviously slated for redevelopment for a while. So. It's just an empty space, and so they're already gone. I mean, they're building on it now because phase one. You were sort of being cynical about the affordable housing aspect. You were like, oh yeah, that's what they say, but that's not true. In this case, phase one is a big part of the affordable housing
piece, and that
has already begun. That's already happening before the stadium was even approved. So so there's already construction, and you can see where it's going to be.
And to be clear to everyone listening to the podcast, In New York City, affordable housing means the micro studios start at $3,000 a month. That's what sort of affordable.
Well, there's different. That's not necessarily true either. There's different levels of affordability. There's all kinds of.
This I'm is on actually, the Mitchell Lama list. Okay?
It's actually
I'm
very complicated. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know what it's like. The way it works in New York is a bunch of housing lotteries and crap. I put my name on a list 10 years ago. They still haven't gotten emailed. Those lists are long. Mm-hmm. And then they take your salary, and then they look at it. In all seriousness, like a real studio or a junior one-bedroom, this is 5 years ago. You're looking at around $900 to $1,200-ish for one of those things.
I mean, that's a bargain.
Yeah, in New York City especially. So I imagine that's probably what it's like over there.
But there's You know, these days, because over the last however many, for the last however many years, there's a lot of this kind of development.
Mixed income development, and there's
many different levels, and there's many different flavors of it, and so it's complicated.
But essentially, a good friend of mine is actually on, like, the housing board or something. But for a long time, it was like low-income housing. Those were called the projects, like Marcy Ave. Those are bad. We've heard enough of that. So, like, let's turn to mixed income. We'll have this thing where to build a building, you get a credit if a certain percentage apartments are allocated to those of subsidized income versus the free market apartments. And I don't know what the – it depends. It's 20 to 80 or 30 to 70 or 10 to 9 or something like that. And so that would be – but then there's a big hubbub. So they always do that. But then there was a big hubbub a few years ago because a building wanted to create a separate entrance. Like the upper class entrance, yeah. Beginning of the building.
That's
and lower
no
class
good.
The side of the building. And they're like, no, you can't do that. So it's a whole, you know, then all the NIMBY guys, you know, all the NIMBY folk that move into the thing. It's a whole thing. But what I know is that New York City housing is one of the biggest bee's nests of, like, community action you can get involved with. So it's an absolute miracle that anything gets done. It's an absolute miracle if they're able to build this project in Queens. What's the total cost? Is it $1 billion? What are we talking about? How much is the thing?
I don't know. I guess they say those numbers. I don't know. I don't know if off the top. I mean, because there's three different phases. It's not just the stadium. There's other. It depends on what you're counting. I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It's expensive.
We need to figure
but
out
the
when
naming
it's time
rights.
For us.
The naming rights are still up for sale. We could
we
buy,
should put
we,
a,
could, we could chip in and call it
we
the
should
Schnitzel
put a bit
Boys
in.
Stadium.
We should Schnitzel Boys Stadium. We should pitch in. If we can't name the stadium,
or if
we
should, can't, you know, if we can't afford that, there's also entrance. There's an entrance. You know, maybe the Schnitzel Boys entrance, or
what would it be called?
The
what
Schnitzel
really
Boys
called?
Bathroom.
Yeah, we need to be creative. How do you make a schnitzel?
The Schnitzel Boys. I mean, we could have a. We could get a Schnitzel concession going. We have a couple of years to work this out.
That's what I'm saying. The biggest thing is we get a license where we can pull our card up, have the Schnitzel Boys cart and podcast. So it's like
we're going to sell schnitzel and bucket heads and talk the whole time about soccer.
And hand them cards with the link to our podcast. Yeah, I did a little bit of that. A little bit of hawking over the weekend, by the way. Speaking of podcast hawking. I was at the LAFC New York Red Bulls game on Saturday.
You were so on TV.
Every time New York Red Bulls were attacking, which was often, in the corner you could see a little Schnitzel Boys logo in the audience, a young,
you said
beautiful
once,
looking
once
man.
You, once I saw that picture on Twitter of you, it was very easy to find in the broadcast.
I'm in a lot of the broadcast. I just got that ticket on Facebook, and when I went in, I was like, hey, this is a good seat. It's probably one of the better seats. It was a little cold. I should have gotten a jacket. And I realized I do have Schnitzel Boys sweater gear.
That fierce California weather.
Anyway, it was a little. Also, I think specifically where I was in the stadium, there was like a wind tunnel where I was sitting. But I was there, and you could see me when LAFC scores. Everybody's cheering, but the little Schnitzel logo is just still because I wasn't cheering. And whenever there were corner kicks, when they're attacking, it was always me being like, yay, it was the one guy cheering him on. And it was just it was my first live game of the season. It was a lot of fun. It's a beautiful stadium. It's always a fun night. And we got a home draw. And I'm gonna pull a Bjorn because you've done this before. Now I'm gonna do this. Very like maybe more of a homer point of view. But the New York Red Bulls were leading 2-1.
Okay, I see. Okay.
The New York Red Bulls lead 2-1, and then in the last minute, LAFC got a goal and broke our hearts. And then everybody, the people to the right of me, because I was right underneath the New York Red Bulls away section, right above me, so it's cool to see them cheer, and I'm going to cheer with them. And right when that happened, everybody around me, especially the rowdies to my right, looked up, flipped them off, and be like, yeah, pendejos, screw you, screw you. They were, I guess we could swear, ah, fuck you, you know, like, throw, like, everyone was, like, pointing at the state section, be like, screw you, blah, 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 blah. And the only thing that was going on in my head is like, oh, boy, you guys are real proud about a late-minute home draw. You know what I mean? I was just like, it's 2-2. You guys are cheering like you freaking won the MLS Cup championship. You know, now, granted, because you've brought that up before, too, you've spoke like that before. And as much as that's my first instinct, you know, I don't know. Is it unfair to be like, to have my point of view to be like, it's a home draw.
Look at the scoreboard.
Yeah. Look at the scoreboard. It's 2-2. Two, you know, and I'm like,
is it unfair? What do you mean unfair? Who cares? This is like tribal ridiculousness. This is
my people living
yeah. That's what sports is. It's a war substitute. You know, it doesn't have to be fair.
Yeah, but why are they cheering about some home draw? Everyone, it's like, you guys need to relax, okay? This is a disappointing score for you guys. It's a 2-2 home draw. You're supposed to be winning these games. You're supposed to win at home. It's MLS. You win at home, and then if you tie on the road, it's thumbs up, right? So we tied on the road. And we should have won that game, by the way. It was just some unfortunate sloppy defense.
Well, I found out about this on my app, the FOTMOP app, and I saw that, well, two things about this equalizing goal. I guess I was in Canada in the wilderness when this happened. I didn't know Maxime Cheneau is on LAFC.
I didn't know either. Is he?
Yeah, he is. And he got the... Well, and then I saw he got the assist, so that made me happy. I was like, well, at least he's still scoring. You know, he's still, like, trying to bring down the Red Bulls. But, I mean, then watching the goal.
He just signed, I guess. He just signed.
He signed when I was in Canada. I missed this.
Were you in Canada over the weekend?
No.
It was 2 weekends ago.
I think March 27th, it said. Yeah. Okay. This came. So it's been a few weeks that he's – I mean, it's disappointing because he, you know, he left – basically left NYCFC after 8 seasons. He's like our longest tenured player
He went to Luxembourg
and he sold us a bill of goods about playing in front of his family. He just left in a huff. He got into it with Cushing.
Yeah, he went to France.
And his wife into Corsica. He went to Corsica.
Ajaccio. Yeah.
Anyway, I totally missed this, and I was like, oh my God, Cheneau is on LAFC? I didn't know. But he got an assist for that, but it wasn't really much of an assist. It was just sort of a header gone awry, and then, what's his name? Buanga?
Danny Buanga. Yeah.
Buanga just picked it up and scored.
Frenchman to Frenchman. Yeah, I was only looking at one player at LAFC. I would two, because you know me, I'm on a youth player kick. There was a guy who came off the field, number 91, Mulla, with an umlaut. M-U-L-L-A-R.
Yeah, get relative? No.
I don't know, but I went on the LAFC Wikipedia. He wasn't listed anywhere.
Hmm.
It's like, huh. And so I was, you know what I was doing the whole time, by the way? I was texting my friend Michael from the podcast who waves the German flag the whole time. We were on opposite ends of the stadium.
That makes me laugh every time.
Well, he was on the Tron. He's doing the good work. I love it. I love what he's doing.
What?
So he.
Why? What? Okay.
We don't need to get into this. We don't need to talk about. Everybody waving Honduran flags. He's German. He's waving German flag. He's allowed to wave the German flag. And I love it.
All right.
If he wasn't waving the flag, I wouldn't even be going on those games. So.
Wow. Okay.
So we got Mueller on the field. Who else was supposed to talk to?
If he wasn't waving the flag, we would send an email to his manager.
Okay. Anyway, so number 91, Mueller coming on the field. I had to ask him who he was. Like, yeah, he's our best player from LAFC too. His name is Louise Mueller.
Louise Mueller.
He's from Köln.
like the Schiller play.
Schiller play. You have to educate me a bit. We're not as cultured.
It's a famous 18th century play called Louise Mueller.
Really? I've studied theater history for years. I've never heard of that play.
Okay. I'm gonna make sure I'm not lying.
L-U-I-S, Louise. How would you say that in German? Louise, right? L-U-I-S, space, Mueller. M-U-L-L-E-R. And he's LAFC's star player. He's number 91. He got some minutes last night. He is from... a couple German youth academies, hopped around, went to college in California, probably on a scholarship, and then was drafted or whatever out of college from California, and now he's on the LAFC roster, And he came out and got some minutes. And I'm like, hell yeah. I wanted Thomas Müller, but I'll take Luis Müller. I'll take any Müller I can get my hands on. And then another kid came on who looked like 14 years old. He is an American from SoCal, born and raised, but he played for the El Salvadoran youth squads and then switched to the Mexican youth squads. He's now a Mexican U20 player. I'm going to look him up. But the reason I bring this up is because I'm all about playing your kids. I love the fact that LAFC were able to throw some kids on the field there, and I'm all about that.
It's Schiller's Schiller, a play by Friedrich von Schiller, Kabale und Liebe, and the main character is Luise Müller.
Ah, what's it?
And it's called Love and it's got several different names depending on translation, and one of them is Luise Müller. I'm not making this up.
No, I didn't say you were.
It's but literature. Well, I mean,
maybe that's what he's named after. Maybe his name's Luis.
And this is with an I. This is not with a U umlaut.
What do you mean? Oh, Müller.
Müller, yeah.
Oh, well, that's weird, right? Shouldn't it be with an U umlaut?
It's weird.
Anyway, this guy's Luis Müller. And then the other kid, the young Nathan Ordaz, he's 20 years old, but the kid looked like he was 16. Hmm. He came on the field and gave us, I love it when the kids play. But it was a fun night. New York Red Bulls, Emil Forsberg scored a goal. And every time Emil Forsberg came close to us, everybody yelled, "Where's your wife?"
No.
Because they know. We're talking about yelling from the fans. They know. And then people were like, "What?" And the guy had to give context. He was like,
no,
apparently when he came to thing, they had some of the context going around. Anyway, it's just a fun night at LAFC. I could talk all day. Two rows behind me was one of the most beautiful, women you've ever seen. She was there by herself. She was like a hipster girl. She had an LAFC hat, LAFC scarf, LAFC shirt, LAFC pants. She was decked out in LAFC the entire time.
Much like me.
However, unlike you, the entire time she was on her phone. She was not looking at the game. And then she left a lot. And then 5 minutes before whistle, she stood up and left because she wanted to beat traffic or something. So there's a vibe in that stadium of people that kind of just want to be there for the party, kind of. But they don't really care a lot about what's going on the field. So that's just a fun LAFC vibe that way.
That's all right. Everybody's welcome.
Yeah, it is. It's hip. It's like it's a party. It's like we want to be.
Yeah.
Angel City's got the same vibes. Like Angel City is the place to go. It's the place to be. It's very cool. Just being a soccer fan in LA is cool. It's pretty cool.
I hope when we have that stadium, it's going to be like that. Although City Field was pretty – was somewhat well attended, I guess. I didn't look at any numbers. Yeah, and we won again. We got another win. Two in a row. Two zeros in a row. Stoppage time. Second goal by Julian Fernandez again. 2 weeks in a row. Nick Cushing's job is secure. We had a very good Hannes Wolf, Bundesliga expat. Hannes Wolf got his first assist on the first goal. Very nice run down the right side.
He's been good, right? Didn't he get a rocket last week?
I think he's been good. He hasn't really had. This was his first assist. He hasn't scored any goals. It hasn't really. He doesn't have any stats yet. But he looks like he's good. I mean, it's the same I said before the season. The squad seems good. And I mean, DC and New England. DC was missing. They were missing Klitsch and Aaron Herrera. They only had five guys on the bench. I guess they're missing a bunch of. They were not looking great. But and neither was New England, so you know.
Benteke is in great form. He's the leading goal scorer.
Yeah, he had one open header that got me worried. But other than that, he was pretty quiet.
And you know, I love Troy Lessain. I think he's a great
coach. Troy Lessain. The press was not as fearful as I thought. They were pretty. It was a little intermittent and. We'll take it. Hannes Wolf was good.
Because he's former DC United.
Oh, yeah. Hans Wolf and Hannes Wolf are, we're going to keep pretending it's the same person. Yeah.
Hans Wolf is
Congrats on the assist, Hans Wolf.
He's a longtime DC United supporter and NYCFC supporter.
Mm-hmm.
So where were your allegiances with this game, huh? Because it's funny with LAFC and New York Red Bulls, I am an LAFC fan. Kind of here in the conference, but when my Red Bulls came, I was a Red Bulls fan. Red Bulls is my number one.
Well, you have
other given circumstances, I would be an LAFC fan.
You have I mean, we've talked about this before. You have an unusual flexibility in terms of your allegiances.
However, this league is split in two. There's a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference. The fact that NYCFC, no, the fact that Red Bulls and LFC play, it's kind of a fluke. They do it once a year, and
not that
there's plenty of other clubs that they wouldn't have played. You know what I mean? So if they barely play each other, I'm allowed to pick two teams. Right?
So who's my West Coast? I should pick a West Coast team? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And also, the reason I am weird is that I support the LA Galaxy as much, if not more, than LAFC, which you're not allowed to do. For instance, I almost went to the Galaxy game last night, and I missed a banger. Whenever Galaxy and San Jose play, it's like a 1.0 rivalry.
Oh, yeah. I saw some of that. It was pretty good.
It's always fun. It was a 4-3, and I should have gone. I'm just a little exhausted. Going to LAFC is tough because I don't want to pay $50 in parking. So I find free parking, and it's like a mile away, and I have to 20-minute hike. It's exhausting. We're LA Galaxy. It's like a free parking ride. It's a cheaper ticket. It's like a more reasonable, it's a more affordable fan experience. But if I already did one on Saturdays, it's rare I'll have the energy then go do it again on a Sunday. But we'll see. Maybe next time I'll do it. Yeah, my fan flexibility is the fact that I'm just happy that American soccer is a thing and we're all here having a good time. That's like my prime directive.
All right.
We're for both folks, that's not
I won't
case.
Argue. I'm not going to pick a Western team. My second team is our second team because they advance in the Open Cup. Beat Hartford on the road in overtime. Maximo Carrizo with the winning goal. And now we're playing the worst team of the USL Championship. Who is it? Colorado Switchbacks?
Are you sure?
Is that a thing? Anyway,
vamp for a second. Look it up. Yeah, NYCFC 2 and the U.S. Open Cup in general is, I think, the big story. I think the U.S. Open Cup has gotten all this great free publicity in the offseason, and I think it's being followed much more voraciously this year than it's been followed in a while. And I do believe that the weirdness of the offseason, in a way, was a little bit of a blessing in disguise because it reminded everybody to support U.S. Open Cup, like America's most rawest, honest soccer competition, and we have this team, this burrito stand, and San Francisco had a run. NYCFC 2 is crushing it. They're the last MLS Next Pro team in this competition for I think two rounds now, and you know, and all these
Colorado
clubs.
Springs, the Colorado Springs Switchbacks.
Are they flying to Colorado?
No, they're coming to the top of the parking garage in Belsen. Yeah, I'm going to buy tickets.
Nice. Yeah, but NYCFC, too, they got this Maximo Carrizo 16, right? Wasn't he that super youngster you signed 2 years ago?
Yeah. We went to his house, remember?
And NYC, I do remember. And NYCFC, too, has crushed it while the first team is not crushing it. So, like, who's your NYCFC coach? Who's the NYCFC 2 coach?
Matt Pilkington.
And is he, like, from, where's he from? Is he, like, from Matt Cushing's squad from England, or
he's
was he a guy
England
you picked
guy.
Up in New York?
Yeah, I think he's English. No, he's worked for the team for a long time. I don't know exactly his provenance, but they're doing well in the league too. They got a win over the weekend in the league too. So it's not just they're not just good in the Open Cup.
Matt Pilkington is up for the job, don't you think? The NYCFC job.
You are like anybody who does anything for NYCFC. You were ready on our text chat to give Jonathan Jimenez an MLS contract. There's a big gap between those two leagues.
I am all about youth kick, youth development, bringing it up through. That's why. But with Jonathan Jimenez, like, I'm not challenging you, and I do believe you're right. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong. But you're very much, like, you look at these games, and you can tell me which players are ready for the first team and which will never see the first team. Very adamant about that, general. And I'm not against it, but like, tell me why. Like, right now, you have a moment. Maximo Carrizo's maybe is starting to go. There's some other guy. Wasn't the right back some 17-year-old? You said he was ready to go. But Jonathan Jimenez is 22, who's scoring up a storm up top. You said he's never going to see MLS. He's not ready for MLS.
Well, he's 23, you know. I mean, the reality is that hardly any of those players are ever going to see first team minutes in the entirety of MLS Next Pro, unless it's specifically designed to give first team players some time. Like, if they're already on the, you know, Malachi Jones was playing for NYCFC 2, the goalie Romero. But if you're just signed to the second team, you don't have a first team contract, most of those guys will never see any time. So that's the truth. So anybody who makes it to MLS, like, you know, and you see this in the crew, what's that guy's name? The right back who won MLS Cup with them, who came from crew from the second team. Anyway,
I don't know.
Happens, but it's the exception. And so, and especially if somebody is, you know, and the kids, obviously it's a stepping stone for the academy kids. So if you're like 16, 17, that's also a possibility. If you're 23 and you're playing on the second team, the odds are not in your favor.
Not Derek Jones, is it?
No, the crew.
Yeah, I'm on the crew.
Will
Sands?
No, it's the...
originally from NYCFC, Will Sands. Now he's a first-timer.
Yeah, he's Jimmy Sands' brother.
Ah, gotcha.
Mo Farsi, that's his name. Mo Farsi. Well, he was a futsal guy, and then he got a contract for the second team, and you know, so these things happen, but it's exceedingly
well. Rare. I think it depends. I'm on the New York Rebels. Half of our Rebels 2 lineup all spent time on the first team. Like, we know all of them. I think they have a little bit of a close relationship. I think it depends on the club,
perhaps.
But the big thing is how do you apply that? I'm saying, like, I understand. I'm not saying you're wrong. I know you're talking about the numbers, and I get it. But, like, I thought you talked about, like, physicality. I thought you were talking about, like, technique-wise. Like, why would Maximo – is it just because they're younger? Or why would Jonathan Jimenez never play in MLS for NYCFC? But Maximo – like, what if Jonathan Jimenez scores a hat-trick every game for the rest of the season? He doesn't deserve a trial, at least?
Well, it's just a big gap. Like, we saw MD Matthew Myers last season. He came out of nowhere, and he won the Golden Boot in MLS Next Pro. He scored a lot of goals, and then he went to the He went to USL Championship team. I mean, that's the next step up. It's like for the same reason that very few players go from MLS to the Premier League. Like, it's just a big gap. Like, there's intermediate steps. If Jonathan Jimenez scores a hat-trick every game, he's going to go to Hartford or to some USL Championship team the next league up. And that's going to be... And then if it keeps going, then eventually he'll make his way. But there's just...
But Maximo Carrizo goes straight to the thing?
Well, because he's 16. Because he's 16. If his development, that's why age is a huge thing in those. There's the expectation that people will improve. At 23, you're kind of more fully formed than when you're 16. So that's where the, you know, like, years ago, people were like, "Oh, Tales is struggling, and Santi seems." Much more ready. Santi is 2 years. Well, also now turns out Santi's probably better, but he was also 2 years older. Like, those, and that makes a big difference from 18 to 20. Like, it's a huge difference. So Max Carrizo is 16. So he, you know, and again, also, we don't know what's going to happen with him. There's never any, as you know, there's never any guarantees with youth. Youth players, but the potential is there,
right,
the because he's so young. Because he is, right. You know, because he's going to keep improving. For Jonathan, you know, he's 23.
They're looking for young players to mold. If you're 23, the bad habits are already ingrained, or whatever. There's like not much they can do.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, not everybody is going to be an MLS player. Some people, you can be pretty good, and
no, I know, but for me, we need to, because again, we go to Brazil and Argentina. They're the best of the best at this. I understand I'm comparing elite to not elite. But right. That's who we should be shooting for, right? We should be looking at that and be like, we need to shoot for that. That's what we need to do. You know, we had this great news report of San Diego just came out and announced they have they're building, and part of their new team there, they're building a full in-residency high school program with dorms and everything. Mm-hmm. So 14-year-olds can get a full-ride scholarship, or it's free or whatever. I don't know what it is. Where 14-year-olds could go live in the high school, to soccer high school, but it's part of the San Diego youth program. And I love it. So by the time they're 18, they should have 4 years of expert training under the belt, and they're 18. Maybe by the time they're 18, they're ready for the first team already. Who knows? Philly does this, by the way, so it's not new. People are treating it like it's new. Philly Union has something called the YCJ Academy, but that's a private academy. It costs like $40,000 a semester. That's never going to be the answer. But they have it. I don't know. There's a great video online somewhere. In fact, my comment is like top comment where I talk about how this academy could never be the answer. But it's like this big expensive academy where like the dead moms sponsor players. So you can sleep, you can be hosted by a stranger's house or something. And then they have a couple of scholarship kids there, but only a couple. But it's a full-time soccer high school in Philly, mm-hmm. affiliated with the Philly Union. San Diego's doing it, but apparently it's free, which I think is appropriate. That or cheap at least, not free, but needs to be cost effective for most families, urban families, inner city families. But anyway, going back to my thing. In Brazil and Argentina, they have an army of kids crushing it, playing it, 15, 16, 17. By 17, a lot of these guys are the new first team starters because the old first team starters were all sold to MLS in Europe by now. You know what I mean? So they have a constant, their rosters are 100% Brazilian or Argentinian, and it's the machine. The kids are coming from youth to U19s to reserves to starters. And at MLS, we need to look at that and be like, how is our system? And you're right. USL to MLS was too big of a gap, so they did MLS Next Pro. And I think you're saying that's even a bigger gap than USL to MLS, if I'm hearing you correctly. And it's like, how do we figure out that, how do we get that going where it's like a dude who's crushing it at the reserve level, how does he seamlessly just now go up to the first team level and replace the outgoing player that should be going off to Europe or something or wherever?
But I think that's too much to ask, no? Like, that's like saying...
Well, but other countries do that. That's how Argentina and Brazil work. Brazilian clubs only make a profit off player sales. They do not make profits off their operation costs. They break even at best.
Mm-hmm.
They're experts at it, you know.
Yeah, but they've been experts at it forever. This is all new stuff. Like MLS Next Pro is the third season, right?
Yeah, something like that. They've tried this a few times.
Give it time.
MLS has always had starts and stops. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I agree with you. Give it time. But for me, I'm like, we need to get these guys. If a guy is scoring hat tricks in MLS Next Pro, he gets a spot. Give him the spot. See if you can score a goal or two in MLS. Why not?
Crush him. Like, let's just, if anybody's any good, let's just promote him and then crush him.
Well, there is something true that, yeah, I mean, this is a sort of an MLS old school story. So when Chivas USA started, they signed Martin Zuniga, who's a veteran Mexican goalkeeper. He was 38 at the time, because that's who they could afford and whatnot. He's the keeper. Then for their second keeper, they got some guy off the draft. Who knows? Whoever was available, they got some guy off the draft. And a week before the season started, Martin Zuniga broke his leg because he's 38. And they're like, well, dang. And it's MLS, so the roster was done. This is pre-DP, so it was like, if your guy breaks his leg, like, we have a pool keeper for you. But that's So this young rando they drafted, he was the starting goal. He's like, well, you're our goalkeeper now. You weren't supposed to be. You're supposed to sit on the bench. You're our goalkeeper. He let five goals go past him in the opening game. He was out of his depth. But you give him a couple weeks, trial by fire, right? Sink or swim. The dude swam. He started getting better and better and better. That man's name, Brad Guzan.
Brad Guzan.
That's the story of Brad Guzan. If Martin Zuniga never broke his leg, Brad Guzan would have sat on the bench for a year and flushed out. We probably would never have heard of that guy. He had to be thrown in the fire. Yeah, he wasn't ready, but it's like, you're our only choice. With so now goalies, you're a first-team goalkeeper.
With goalies, this is especially, yeah, I think this is, that's true. It's like you definitely, sometimes you just need an opportunity.
But isn't that like, I know it's not going to work right away, but you need to be thrown in the fire and get your, that's part of the risk. That's the risk.
It's like, it's also for, you know, not everybody succeeds. I mean, we had Stephen Turnbull from NYCFC2 play right back. Was it last season? The season before? And he was really struggling. He was, you know, clearly...
How long was he playing right back?
He played... He got a bunch of opportunities. He was there for the whole season.
You flush out sometimes. I'm not saying it's always a success. But you do need to be given the risk of the opportunity sometimes. You know, yeah, you need to be given that opportunity, right? Right. Or wrong?
Not everybody. I mean, it's not like if I score a hat trick in my pickup game on Sunday, I deserve a shot at.
That's a bigger gap. I'm trying to calibrate the gap here. Right? See what's going on here.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I think
I would love that if every week it's like, hi, we have this new program where you have a community player in the starting 11. Meet Bjorn Bellebaum. He scored a hat trick at Pier 40.
That's what I thought.
He's your starting number 9 today.
That's what I said to whoever I was with when Tommy McNamara first came on the field in 2015. Right. I was like, did somebody from the third rail win a contest? Because he did not look like a pro player, but he was great. Anyway, Stephen Turnbull, he played 482 minutes. He played in 11 games. He got 5 starts.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
So he got his shot. He now plays in USL. It's fine. You know, people find their.
But I like that. Yeah, he flushed out to USL. I like that. But that could be the Steve Turnbull story, or it could also be the dude really thrived and he became the left back for the U.S. World Cup next summer.
Kevin O'Toole is playing left back for us. He didn't play for MCC2, but he came from nowhere. Like, and he was so it happens. It does happen.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
You're all about it. All right.
So NYCFC is getting a little bit of a winning streak. It's 2 wins in a row. Feeling okay?
Yeah. I mean, we have this home stand. This is 5 home games in a row because of our weird, 3 more years of our weird stadium situation. So we're playing Charlotte and Colorado. We have 3. We played. We got a tie against Atlanta. We beat New England and DC. And so now we have 2 more. And so. This is a big. We needed some points, and we got them so far. And then the next thing is, we can't just suck on the road all the time.
Excellent, excellent.
That's the next step.
Well, I wish you the best, and everything's still good in the New York Red Bulls world. Thank you. Think we're okay.
Forsberg is crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, we had 2 draws now, but you know, I saw them live. I'm about to see them live in Miami in 2 weeks, so I'm following my Red Bulls a little bit this next month.
Amazing.
And you know, we're still looking good. I love we're playing with Pep. It's so funny, or it's just so interesting seeing up close when the other team has a throw in. The Red Bulls player pretend like they want nothing to do with them. They give them all about 5 or 6 feet. They're like, yeah, throw the guy. We're not gonna. Don't worry about it. And the minute the throw in happens, they just swarm. They just swarm on top of them and they just run right to the players because they're trying to get a turnover in the style of high press. And I love the fact that they practice pretending to not be interested in a guy with a throw-in and then immediately the throw-in to turn on and give him like a false sense of confidence to boom and freaking high to swarm their ass and get the ball back. New York Rebels playing great. Pep in their step. I would still like to see another number 9 over the summertime. Would be ideal. But other than that, I think we're in pretty decent.
Yeah, you and me both. We're still we're winning, and our number 9, Munsif Bakar, still has not scored a goal this year. And he had another big one. He had a bunch of activity. He was involved in the first goal. He did well there, but he cannot hit the broadside of a barn currently. And then the hyped Serbian kid is back. He found his way back, solved his visa issues. So
he's not missing anymore. He's around.
So no, he played. He came off the bench, but he hasn't done anything either. So when we have a proper number 9, watch out, MLS.
Yeah, we had our young Norwegian player Grunyard got some minutes. So I still don't 100%. We haven't really seen him full force yet, but he played a significant amount of time in the game. So it's good to see him up close. Yeah, very cool. I have one sort of last PSA here, unless there's anything else you want to touch on.
No, that's it.
Watch the U.S. Open Cup. But just a fun little thing, or just a thing on the MLS Reddit boards. Someone figured out that with a 4K Apple TV device, it doesn't have to be that, but it's what he has, and he installed this year a 5.1.4 surround Dolby Atmos system in his living room.
Okay.
That certain games, certain stadiums, are hooked up for a certain type of surround sound experience. That the way it works is that the crowd noise is all over the surround sound speakers, but the commentators are only in the front speakers. So it's the setup is built specifically for you to be like you're in the stadium. And apparently certain stadiums are rigged for this type of audio setup, but certain stadiums are not. And he's figured out that about 3/4 of the MLS stadiums so far have been doing that, and some are not. So it's like a weird sort of technical, it's like a technical Apple TV bonus that maybe we're not aware of yet.
Okay.
So it makes me want to go invest in a surround sound system to try this out. There is a specific type of surround sound product that certain MLS stadiums, probably the newer ones, can offer via Apple TV. So there's a little PSA. Do some Googling. All right. I don't have an Apple TV device. I just have a Samsung TV. But someone mentioned that he does the Samsung TV, same thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be the device. It's just if you have a certain surround sound setup, a lot some MLS games are wired to use it properly. So little PSA.
I will check that out.
Yeah, yeah.
I have surround sound in my house. I haven't noticed this. Although, yeah, I will look into this more. I don't watch that much. Because all the games at the same time, it's more for my team. Yeah.
It's more for me because I'm a heavy TV
You're a heavy
viewer.
TV. I'm more of a live person.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, for the ones who watch
and then
on TV,
when we lose, if we lose, I don't want to watch anything else. I just mope.
Maybe you need to adjust your settings. Maybe it's a settings thing. Maybe you have it set
I'm
up.
I'm
going to
look into it. Yeah. I will look into it.
Yeah. Anyway. Tschüss. This was USA Soccer. Both of our clubs are doing okay. Tschüss. Red Bull sums up. NYCFC. Cushing watch continues.
Continues.
Right. I want Matt Pickington to take over. Bjorn is against that. He's like,
everybody, Next Pro should just. It's just all the same. Whether you're Next Pro, whether you're MLS, it's all. Everybody should get a shot.
I'm all about giving an opportunity, man.
It's unfair. It's unfair to only have better players on your team.
Do you know the glass ceiling principle or whatever it's called, where like people who are non-traditionally fit for a role only get opportunities when that role is like dying, like it's sinking or whatever?
Huh.
Like, does that make sense? I feel like that's getting opportunities is just very difficult. That's all. So I'm all about all making right. it a little easier. Anyway, tschüss, everyone.
Tschüss. Hans Wolf, tschüss. Nice assist.